Hello, and welcome to the Italian Threat Intel Weekly Podcast for the week commencing the 15th of April, 2024. In InfoSec news this week, various researchers have released proof-of-concept exploits for the maximum severity vulnerability in Palo Alto Networks PAN-OS using the Global Protect gateways. The POC started rolling out just a day after the vendor began releasing hotfixes for the issue at the start of the week. Researchers have echoed previous warnings about how easy the vulnerability is to use as part of an attack, saying that many organizations could be compromised as a result, with Watchtower Labs being the first to release a detailed analysis of CVE-2024-3400, along with a proof-of-concept codebase, and Rapid7 rolling out its own soon after, explaining that a successful exploit is actually dependent on a chain of two vulnerabilities, the aforementioned CVE-2024-3400, and one that has not yet been assigned a CVE designation. Before command injection can be achieved, researchers demonstrated that an attacker must be able to create arbitrary files. They showed that a file can be created by feeding the server a sessID cookie with custom data after using an old-school directory traversal trick in order to create a directory structure. This is only enough to create an empty file, however, with a custom file name suitable for command injection on the file system as root and isn't enough to drop malicious code on its own. This, combined with the command injection vulnerability in Global Protect's telemetry service, is what allows attackers to achieve remote code execution. Quote, to trigger remote code execution, we perform an unauthenticated curl request to the Global Protect web server with a crafted payload in the sessID cookie value. When the server executes its telemetry transmission process once per hour, the payload will be executed and removed from the telemetry directory. After a short wait, we can then establish remote code execution. On the attacker machine, a Python web server receives a GET request which indicates our code was executed with root privileges. The CTO of TrustedSec posted an example exploit he spotted being used in a real-world incident. Initial POCs were dependent on Global Protect's device telemetry being enabled. The day after Palo Alto Networks began releasing hotfixes, however, and on the same day researchers released their own write-ups, the vendor updated its official advisory to say that the vulnerability is exploitable regardless of whether telemetry is enabled or not. Prior to this update, disabling telemetry was one of the official secondary suggested mitigations for users while they waited for an official patch, and it now seems as though there are multiple ways to achieve remote code execution, but details about the telemetryless exploit aren't publicly available at time of recording. Researchers have predicted that mass exploitation will likely begin given that POCs are now published and relatively straightforward to execute. Data from the Internet Monitoring Service Shadow Server shows around 156,000 public-facing Global Protect appliances, and considering that disabling Global Protect device telemetry is no longer a completely effective mitigation method and the severity of the issue, users are strongly urged to apply the available patches as soon as possible. Threat actors are exploiting unpatched Atlassian servers to deploy a Linux variant of the Cerber ransomware. The attacks leverage CVE-2023-22518 with a CVSS score of 9.1, a critical rated vulnerability impacting the Atlassian Confluence data center and server, which allows an unauthenticated attacker to reset Confluence and create an admin account. Armed with this access, a threat actor could take over affected systems, leading to a full loss of confidentiality, integrity, and availability. According to the security firm Cado, financially motivated cybercrime groups have been observed abusing this newly created admin account to install the Effluence web shell plugin and allowing for the execution of arbitrary commands on the host. Quote, the attacker uses this web shell to download and run the primary Cerber ransomware payload, according to the initial report. In a default install, the Confluence application is executed as a Confluence user, a low-privilege user. As such, the data the ransomware is able to encrypt is limited to files owned by the Confluence user. The most interesting aspect of this attack is the use of pure C++ payloads, which are increasingly becoming something of a rarity, given the shift to cross-platform programming languages such as Golang and Rust. Quote, Cerber is a relatively sophisticated, if aging, ransomware payload. While the use of Confluence vulnerability allows it to compromise a large amount of likely high-value systems, often the data it is able to encrypt will be limited to just the Confluence data. In well-configured systems, this will be backed up. This greatly limits the efficacy of the ransomware in extracting money from victims, as there is much less incentive to pay. And a vulnerability tracked as CVE-2024-31497 in PuTTY version 0.68 through 0.80 could potentially allow attackers with access to 60 cryptographic signatures to recover the private key used for their generation. PuTTY is a popular open source terminal emulator, serial console and network file transfer application which supports SSH, Telnet, SCP and SFTP. System administrators and developers predominantly use the software to remotely access and manage servers and other network devices over SSH from a Windows-based client. The vulnerability, tracked as CVE-2024-31497, was discovered by individuals at the Ruhr University Bochum and is caused by how PuTTY generates temporary unique cryptographic numbers. The main repercussion of recovering the private key is it allows unauthorized access to SSH servers or sign commits as the developer, potentially even achieving a supply chain attack on impacted software projects. The developers fixed the vulnerability in PuTTY version 0.81, which abandons the previous key generation method. However, it is noted that any P521 private keys generated using the vulnerable version of the tool should be considered unsafe and replaced by new secure keys. Software which uses the vulnerable PuTTY implementation includes FileZilla, WinSCP, and TortoiseGit and SVN. And with likely more software tools impacted by the vulnerability, depending on which PuTTY version they incorporate, users are advised to check their tools and take preventative action as needed. Thank you very much for listening to the Tally and Threat Intel Weekly Podcast. Please don't hesitate to contact us should you wish to discuss any of the items outlined here. And thank you very much for listening.